Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson of Daktronics Marketing. Today, we've got a special guest with us from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, GM Scott Jenkins. He is going to talk to us about how the stadium came together from the construction phase all the way through the first event. We're going to talk about the halo display and all the other LED technology at the stadium, how that has a huge impact on the fan experience, and of course, the preparation for the big game coming this weekend. For a better idea of what we're talking about on today's podcast, go to www.daktronics.com/mbstadium. There will be pictures and information to help you follow along. Hello, Scott. Welcome to the podcast. How about you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Scott Jenkins. I'm General Manager of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We are getting ready for a big game here in a little bit, and what I do here is overall manage the operation of the stadium. So we've had a lot of events come through here in the last year and a half that we've been open, and real excited about the Super Bowl that's right around the corner.
Yeah, so that's a big event coming up. But let's start a little ways back and see where things started with the stadium and how you were involved with that in the beginning and how the stadium came to be built. And what was that like from conception until it finally opened?
Well, I was lucky to get here as general manager just as we were finishing design development plans, so we hadn't quite broken ground yet. And Arthur Blank, who's our owner, was smart to bring in someone operationally minded to work with the project team right from the beginning. So I thought this was a great opportunity to put some of my past experiences on other projects to good work here on this ambitious project of what's become Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But a lot of work went into locating it here in the heart of Atlanta before I got here. And the overall vision for reinventing the stadium experience was a mantra that the project had for quite some time. And that was what attracted me to this project. Very ambitious expectations for the project to not just, you know, try to keep up with what everyone else was doing, but to really break from that and deliver an experience for the fans that was unexpected and new and at a much higher level. So that's that was fun to get involved in a project like that early with that kind of aspiration and the kind of commitment that Arthur Blank has for taking care of the customer and doing things in a first-class way.
Yeah, you talked about the amount of planning and preparation that goes into a stadium like that. From our perspective here at Daktronics, right, we worked and knew about this project, I'd say several years probably even ahead of time. When you're going through and getting ready for all these different aspects, how was working with us and making sure that everything ended up turning out the way that you guys envisioned?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So many things on this project was really beyond the norm. And when you're looking at a building that's just really stunning architecturally, with an operable roof, an eight-pedal operable roof like no one's built before, and then to conceptualize a video board that hangs around the opening, which we call our Halo Video Board, the world's largest scoreboard. And just to give you some sense of scale of that, it's 58 feet high by 1,100 lineal feet. That's a lot of LED that's hanging from the opening of that roof. So very ambitious and very challenging from an engineering perspective and very challenging from a construction standpoint. So when we were through various parts of this building, as it came together from design to procurement to installation of things to commissioning, we needed to pick the best partners we could to make it happen. And I was, before we put the displays out for bid, I've been a fan of Daktronics for many years. You guys are the biggest player out there. We needed somebody that we could trust and really have confidence in to help us solve the inevitable challenges that would come up with something of that sheer size and that complexity. And thank goodness, too, because with any big project, there's lots of budget pressure and there's schedule pressure. And you combine that with a really challenging one-of-a-kind design, and you've got a situation where you need really good partners to make it happen. And I was really pleased when we were able to sign up Daktronics to do all our displays in the building. And in fact, the Halo board was the biggest one, but we did a whole lot of ribbon boards and then also wrapped a structural column we call the mega column with a 100-foot tall video element on 3+ sides of the mega column So we put a lot of display in the building, even just a sizable triangular-shaped video board when you come in the entry of the building by Gate 2. It really makes an impact to have just these beautiful displays, some in very unique configurations, I guess all of them in unique configurations, that enhance the game day experience. So I was really pleased when we signed Dactronics up for the project, and you guys definitely came through for us.
Yeah, I remember even looking at it early on when the project was getting a little bit further along, and there were, you know, conceptuals, 3D fly-throughs, all these different areas to try and help show what the project was going to be like. I remember we even did, I can't remember who was involved with it, but I remember seeing some VR headset experiences, because when you tell people about that Halo board, you know, before it was constructed or anything, how do you envision using that as a main video board was kind of I'd say a useful tool to help kind of show that type of stuff off. It was incredible seeing all those different displays and then wondering, you know, how, like you said, when, as it gets put together with a budget and a timeline, how all that comes together just seems really complex.
Yeah, anytime you do something for the first time that breaks from the norm on that kind of scale, the complexities that come along with it, just the sheer difficulties of engineering it, figuring out how you're going to access it and maintain it, there's just so many decisions that have to be made, and again, it's on a very tight time schedule and a tight budget. So to work with folks like you, the best in the business, really made it possible and brought the building to life.
You said it was nice to see it all come together and everything. For the installation, were you actually on site during the time when they were bringing those pieces up into the Halo and putting those in?
I was, yeah. And when you see a big structure like that, and you're envisioning what that board's going to look like, and you're thinking, okay, now how do they install this? I mean, there are so many components. It's just so massive. And you know, there's so much work going on around the building still, trying to get ready for the football season. It's really quite a logistics puzzle and quite an operational puzzle to solve. And to see it, you know, the first bit of it go up was really exciting. But to know there's just so much more coming, and to see it, you know, come along. And then I remember the first time I saw it lit up in a big way. I happened to be outside the building walking past an arena, now State Farm Arena, a couple blocks away, and to look through the window of the city and literally be able to watch a football game from a couple blocks away and see that on that massive board was really, really fun to see it.
Yeah, that's usually some of the fun areas we have when we're looking through social media, especially on new projects, looking for when they fire up. And you see fans or someone always tweeting out a picture or video of those first-time fire-ups. Sometimes people even say it looks like a UFO is landing in the stadium because they see all the colors coming out. But you mentioned something there that is funny that we fall as a trap to a Dactronics, but when a display goes up and we see all that going on in a stadium, like you said, there's a lot more other things going on there. So it's one of those, we see the Halo, the Mega Column, and all those displays coming up. But maybe speak to a little bit about how does that work when you got so many other areas to even worry about besides just the video board?
Yeah, you know, credit to the construction management team, you know, who really kind of conduct all the activities that go on around the building. You know, just getting power to it, getting the structure, the catwalks to it, having you guys put the displays up, the connectivity and the data that's required to drive the signal, getting the control rooms together, accessing the job site. You know, with the huge structure we have, the fixed trusses on the building that the operable roof rides on, those trusses are 70 foot deep, so 70 foot from bottom cord to top cord. And the largest of them spans some 740 feet. It's just massive, massive amount of steel. And then you've got to put an operable roof on top of it. And so just the logistics of scheduling all the activities that take place, not just for the displays, but everything else that's going on in the building was really, really amazing that it all came together to be ready for the football season in August of 17.
So yeah, everything came together for you, and you mentioned a little bit of what it was like when you first kind of saw everything lit up a little bit, but how was it on that first event when fans started rolling in and they started entering the stadium? How was it then when people started seeing these for the first time?
Well, you know, when you see people come in through Gate 2, I'll call it our front door, through our front porch and walk into the building, And even just walking up to the building, people are in awe at the architecture, and we've got this beautiful Falcon sculpture that's massive, just as you come through the ticket turnstile. And then you enter the building, and then there's an area there we call the Overlook, and you walk up there, and people's jaw just drops, and their eyes are just huge, looking at this beautiful stadium with this incredible roof. And at the time, we were still working on an operable roof, so it was in, you know, to some degree, it was still a fixed roof stadium for the first 9 months or so. So spectacular view of the building, but the visuals bring it to life with that halo board, the ribbon boards. We call it the feather wall board, which is a triangular shaped board that's right near the Overlook. And then behind you, that 100-foot mega column that's wrapped in video. It really just brings the building to life. And it was just so fun to watch people step in the building and see their jaws drop.
I would say I would definitely second that. As I've seen a lot of pictures and videos, you know, obviously from marketing up here that we get from the initial first games and whatnot. But I was actually able to be in Atlanta this last fall, actually, for a different event, and was able to swing by and catch a game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And it was one of those, I'd seen, like I said, the pictures and videos, but it did not do it any justice when I walked in there. I expected, you know, see the halo board, how big it was. We promoted a lot. We know the size of it. But still going in there and seeing that thing firsthand, I was still just almost like you said, a jaw drop. I was in awe of it, because I've never been to a stadium before where a ribbon board acted as a main video board, so I wasn't quite sure how the in-game experience is going to work, but I was completely blown away at how nice it was.
And Matt's one of the lucky ones. He's actually been there and gotten to see it, so he always likes to rub it in a little bit that I haven't been there to experience that.
Yeah, Justin loves it when I bring up this story, so...
Well, now's a good time to get out of that cold of the upper Midwest and come down and see us.
There you go.
We'll get right on that.
There was one thing I didn't quite expect, I would say, when I was there was, you know, going out in the concourses area, about how many people just get out and about their seats and walk around and get food, beverages during a game. I've never seen like a more relaxed atmosphere kind of outside of just the main seating bowl. Was that kind of one of your main goals with this?
Yeah, I think part of the... you know, again, reinventing the stadium experience. Typical stadium, you know, you go to your seat and you watch the game, and that's really the main thing. And I think as we in our industry have to compete against every other type of entertainment that's out there, and in fact, beautiful, you know, HD TVs that people have in their living rooms, we've got to make it different and better and more engaging and more exciting. And so this building was really built to engage the fans however they wanted to consume the event. And if you're sitting in your seat and you're watching the game, you're looking up at the halo board and looking out towards the window of the city and see the mega column and all the ribbon boards, it is really spectacular. But that's not all that we have to offer. We have these great spaces throughout the concourses that open up to views of the field, to views of the windows of the city, with gathering places for people to get together with their friends before the game, at halftime, or even during the game. And it is fun. It's a very social building. We did a really cool thing with our food and beverage program with Fan First Pricing. We've gotten a lot of points of sale. We've got the kind of food and beverage that our fans want at prices that they want and they're happy with. So it's just a different environment to come here, a place that people want to come and hang out, come early, and enjoy themselves. You're always connected to the game, whether you can see the field or the halo board or one of 2,800, you know, large HD TVs that we have around the place. So it was really designed to make it a fun experience no matter where you are.
I was going to say, usually when you're out in the concourses and areas and you see that many people, you're expecting to see, you know, a lot of long lines and waiting forever to get kind of food and beverages. But I was shocked at how quick I was even able to go and just grab some food and find a place to sit with the sheer number of people that were still out there walking around.
Yeah, no, we put a lot of point of sales in. We put... you know, refillable soda stations for our fans. So you buy a cup of soda, we'll sell you the cup for $2, and you can refill it all you want. So that speeds up transaction time and increases the value to the customer. And when you do things like taking the soda station out from behind the concession counter and put it on the concourse, you all of a sudden make room for another point of sale. So taking that value proposition of moving the soda to refill on the concourse actually gave us quite a few more points of sale. And then when you don't have to fill a soda or ask someone what they want, you just say, oh, here's your cup. What else do you want? And we did things like whole dollar pricing. Nothing. There's no change. It's $2 for a refillable soda, $2 for a hot dog. We have $5 for a domestic 12-ounce beer. It's all meant to speed transactions and to get the fans where they want to go having fun instead of waiting in line.
Yeah, and staying connected to the game like you were alluding to as well. Once you get the beverage and food, making sure you're not missing out on what's going on in the game. I know we have some of our displays around the club and concourse areas, and you had mentioned the importance of just having, you know, HD feeds going on out there so that when you do leave your seat, you don't worry about missing out on the game, so you can still do all that, participate, and be a part of the event. So maybe a little bit more importance about like how important it is to keep that fan engaged when they leave their seat.
Yeah, I think it's key. You know, when 70,000 people do any one thing at one time, you're going to have a challenge.
Yeah.
So you've got to have as much capacity as you can, but you also want to try to spread that out as much. It's like getting people to come in early so you don't get the gates hammered, you know, the last hour before kick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have inviting places with really fair priced food with what they want, hopefully people come early and it spreads out. Same thing during the game. If they just ate at halftime or went to the bathroom at halftime, we're going to be crushed just like every stadium. So making it inviting and keeping them in touch with the game throughout helps spread that load out and creates a better experience for everybody. We've got some beautiful LED screens in our club spaces. We've got these gigantic bars in the clubs and huge screens above them with lots of other TVs to supplement as well. And one thing I love about those large format HD TVs, the LED displays that are in the clubs, is we actually use that quite a bit on non-game day as well to support our private event business. So the spaces were designed to give a great experience on game day, but then we can plug and play with the same display for private events. So we were really intentional about serving both the major event day and the private event customers with the same infrastructure, and we've been really happy with those big displays.
Nice. So you do have a big event coming up, and I'm sure there's a lot of preparation that goes into that to get everything prepared. And I know, speaking from Daktronics' side of things, we do a lot of preparation to make sure that the displays are supported and ready to go. Even with Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we had a support on site during the entire installation process. He was there through that until it was done. Afterwards, he's at multiple events that you guys host. What is it like to know that a Daktronics support person is on site for you during every event?
Oh, it's key. I mean, I was honestly apprehensive about just how much the sheer volume of components that we had in our displays. And it only takes one component. You got a blockout on the halo board, and it's not going to look good, or a blockout on a mega column. And I forget the exact number, but there's something like 80 million individual LED lights that we use in all of our displays. So there's, you know, a really small failure rate, and you've got a problem. And I can tell you, my concerns going into it was really just the sheer scale of it and the volume of events we were going to do and the amount of eyeballs that were going to be on it and wanting to make sure we could be on the top of the game. So it made me a little nervous. And I can tell you that's been something I haven't worried about at all since we've opened the building. Incredibly reliable, and I attribute that to a great product, great engineering, and great service. In all of the events we've hosted and some 4 million people that have come through the doors, I've only seen one time on a game where I saw one little block out or one little hiccup on the mega column. And again, this is just huge amounts of LED and lots of events. So the reliability and the service that we've gotten has been incredible.
Yeah, for perspective, there's about 83,500 square feet of digital space throughout that stadium, and that's more than any stadium in the world. It's just an insane amount of LEDs that you guys have there.
Yeah, so it's a lot, and it made me nervous going into it, and I knew we were partnering with the best folks in the business, but even at that rate, you know, nobody bats 1,000, and I think your batting average might be .999.
There you go. That's more than enough to get in the Hall of Fame, right?
For sure.
So maybe as we're talking about current day here, I've heard rumors that you guys have a big event coming up that you're going to be hosting. Just kind of wondering, what has the preparation been like for that?
Yeah, no, it's gotten crazy. You know, it was lots of meetings and planning leading up to it over the last year. And then as we went into the holidays, we started clearing some spaces out for the tsunami of Super Bowl prep that was going to hit us when we came back from the first of the year, and we're in the thick of it. There's lots of construction going on for media accommodations. We're doing a lot of rigging for, you know, halftime production work. There's lots of site preparation going on with security and tents and screening areas. So it's been an army of people. We've had we have a standing 10 o'clock a.m. meeting on construction every day of the week.
Wow.
There's that much going on. So we're right in the thick of it right now, and so I think we're doing really well, progressing really well. As we get to the last week before the game, I think we'll be focused on primarily rehearsals. So it'll be nice to get some of the contractors out, and we can clean the dust out, and then start to light up the place.
That sounds pretty intense for everything you've got going on, a lot of moving parts getting ready for this. How would you say this compares to other big events you've hosted? I know you've hosted quite a few big events down there. How does this upcoming one compare?
I don't think anything compares to Super Bowl that I've done in the past. You know, we had the College Football Championship. We just recently had the MLS Cup. We had the MLS All-Star Game in August. So we had some big events that have a lot of moving parts and pieces beyond just the sporting event. But I would say this just takes it to a whole nother level. And I think, you know, when you have 100+ million people watching this on TV, you get some sense as to how much infrastructure and planning and effort goes into the broadcasting and the media components, and then the pageantry and entertainment around the game. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's a football game, just like any other football game, but it's so much more. The hospitality that goes on around the outside and inside. So it's really a trip to think that it takes you, you know, a good month to get ready for the event. That's the strange part for us. We typically will do one or two major events a week. So to some degree, it's a lot of work. But on the other hand, it's kind of a nice break for us because we actually get to go home late at night and aren't staying in the wee hours of the evening. So it's a little break from that standpoint, but lots of moving parts and pieces in the building to get ready for the event. And then as we come out of the game, just the chaos of getting all this stuff removed, restore the building. We had to move our warehouse out, our custodial operation warehouse. We had to clear out. We had to clear out a bunch of rooms and furniture.
Oh, wow.
So we've got off-site warehousing, and as soon as we get things clear and get people out of here, we'll start getting our stuff back in the building. And then we go right into the dirt load in for Super Jam and Monster Jam and Supercross, and then get right back into the soccer season. So it's going to be the month of February is going to be a blur for us.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone talks about the preparation. I didn't even think about the aftermath of what it's going to mean after that. So going back into all these meetings that you're having, you know, from a Daktronics perspective, I'm just curious, when you have all these meetings going on, how often do those LED displays get brought up? Do you kind of have one designated meeting where it's how are we going to handle the content on the boards, or how much are they actually involved in some of those meetings?
Yeah, you know, fortunately for me, I'm more dedicated to the physical aspects of the building and not the production side. So Pete Soto and his team would have to answer that question. But I'm sure there's a lot of head scratching going on and a lot of planning. You know, when you have something as unique as that and the big canvas that we have with the Halo board and the Mega Column, you know, and having done some of the big events, not quite as big as the Super Bowl, it's just fun thinking out of the box of what we have to work with and how do we bring it to life. So fortunately, we've been through two football seasons now, so we've kind of got a little bit of experience under us, how we'd run things and what we might offer to people. But I can't wait to see what happens with the Super Bowl with all the creative genius that's involved in putting on the show beyond the football game. So it's going to be really fun to watch what Pete and his team pull off here.
Yeah, because it's kind of how Justin alluded to it. You got so much digital real estate in that stadium. It's not just main video board, live feed goes here, advertisements go here. You got so many places for people to actually put different contents, advertising, social media, and all that. So it'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, and it's fun for folks that haven't been here. When you get here, we really don't have any fixed signage to speak of. It's all digital. So outside of the naming rights, signs that we have in select locations for Mercedes-Benz Stadium, everything else is digital. So with a push of a button, we can take over the entire building and really put on a show. And then today, in today's world too, with LED lighting, with field lights, and we have color LED lights that light up our operable roof. We have color lights on the outside of the stadium. It really has become, the building has become part of the show. And with that much LED displays wrapping places of the building, it's almost as if the building comes to life. So it, you know, in the old days, you just had a place to focus for video, and that was it. You had to look there. Yep. Now, anywhere you look, you can bring the building to life. So it's really cool to customize the look and feel of it and make it very engaging for the fans.
Right, so one area we always like to talk with customers about, too, is future uses of the display. So it always seems like after the first year or so, you know, as you get more comfortable either with how to use the displays, content on them, you get a little bit more creative. Do you guys have any kind of future plans of how you like to see the displays used in the upcoming years?
Oh, you know, I think one of our values is innovate continuously. And so I think we'll never be done thinking of ways to use what we have better. And we've just got so much canvas and so much real estate to work with, and there's so much computing power. You know, and every time we do a big event, and I think the Super Bowl is, you know, the mother of all events, yeah. It's going to be fun to see how the creative people want to use what we have. So I think we get better every time we do an event, and especially when we do a major event with outside creative folks coming in to take from what we've done and how we've used the boards and take it to the next level. So hard to say where that goes, but I can tell you the integration of the lighting and just the takeover of the 360 halo board with all those other elements, the ribbon boards, the feather wall board, the mega column, it's really cool to see how that all takes place. And then for the Super Bowl, of course, they hang all kinds of lighting trusses around the outside of the field to support the pregame and the halftime show. So I can't wait to see how that comes off. But, you know, quite often when we do a really big event, my phone starts lighting up from people all over the country saying, hey, your stadium looks great on TV. It really is a beautiful design architecturally with the way the building's designed, the way the roof is, the lighting, and then really punctuated and brought to life with all the LED boards.
Yeah, I definitely know Justin and I will be watching social media a lot throughout the game to see kind of all the different pictures and stuff going on of how the displays are being used and everyone there.
Yeah, we'll definitely be looking to see how you bring that stadium to life for those events. I love how you put that. That's a great way to say it. Because with all the digital, everything really does just light up. So with all the displays there and prepping for the big game, thank you for taking the time to join us today. And we hope everything goes well for you.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure, and really appreciate what you guys do. You know, sometimes it's expected that people would give you accolades and say thank you, especially on something like a podcast. But I got to tell you, you know, from the bottom of my heart and all the years of experience I have in the industry, you guys really knocked it out of the park here. And we're really lucky that you guys got the job and that we're able to show off the place and what you can do digitally these days and really what is, you know, maybe a new era for stadium entertainment.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thank you. All right. And again, a special thank you to Scott for joining us today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. For more information on Daktronics, visit us at www.daktronics.com.